This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Final hour of hours on a Tuesday. Well, you know, on the Horn, we are live and local all day, every day. We'll hand it off to the Light the Tower guys, Craig Way. I'm not sure if Craig will be back from Lawrence. Finally back to his own bed, maybe, at some point, because he's been Morgantown, Manhattan, Lawrence, slipping and falling on the ice, but I think he's back. I believe he's back.
Doing ice capades.
Yeah, I heard Craig tell his story of his bursa sack problem, because he fell on his elbow and he had like a swollen bursa sack.
I did him at my fall camp. This summer.
Bucky's fall camp in the summer. It's like a stuntman camp, I guess. Which is kind of cool. Hey, you guys are pretty weird with your food mixtures.
Yes, you are.
This says, my roommate used to eat milk and spaghetti, peanut butter and bologna sandwich. Don't knock it till you tried
it. That's gross. That's not even right.
My wife makes fun of my peanut butter and maple syrup. I can see that tasting pretty yummy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good mixture. Peanut butter on hot dogs is a good combo. What? Red grapes and graham crackers.
No.
And spread
that texture is just not right.
Spread a thick layer of mustard on bread and then coat it with sugar. Fried pickles and ketchup. I can see that. Fried pickles because you got the fried on there. I told you when I went on the Pluckers trip with all the Pluckers folks, I met the guy that supplies all their pickles. He's out of Waco, Texas.
Pickle man?
Yeah, he's the pickle guy.
I'm more of a pickle chip guy, though.
Ooh.
I wish Pluckers would convert from the spheres.
I'm trying to think who has the pickled chips though,
Hooters.
That are good. Hooters? Well, that's not where I'd
good chili also at Hooters. Don't forget the chili.
Fried pickles are good. Yeah, they do the spears at Pluckers. And that dude supplies the pickles to all the Pluckers all over for the fried pickles. And then nice fella. Ty, now you're going to be out the next couple days. You're the iron horse up here. You're like the Cal Ripken. You're putting in 60-some hours a week. Our show and everything else that goes on up here. But you're going to be taking a couple of days off because you have a procedure to what?
My nasal cavities and my nose. I'm getting some stuff. Some deviated septum, collapsed cartilage, some closed nasal cavities.
Yeah,
getting that all cleared up.
Cocaine is a terrible drug, man. Whatever you're doing there. Whatever you're sticking in
you
that
Wesley
nose.
Guys.
Yeah. Man, you guys.
What fake
UT
that,
students.
But
fake UT students on West Campus.
Good Lord.
I've never really been able to breathe out of my nose my whole life. So hopefully
so you're a mouth breather.
Kind of. You're an Aggie?
Yeah, me and Chad have some similarities there. But I'm hoping I don't come back and sound like Mickey Mouse or something like that.
You will have a different sounding voice. That's true. Kind of like I do today with my raspy voice. Can we get some breaking news real quick, Ty? Then we'll get more on your procedure. Because there is breaking news, and it's kind of a flex segment, but big deal. How about Texas? Warren Roberson. We told you about him from Red Oak, Texas.
Yes. Is that the DB?
The DB. Hard-hitting safety out of Red Oak. Had been committed verbally to TCU, but this morning at his high school, when they finally reopened the high school from all the ice of last week, had a commitment ceremony and committed to Texas.
Awesome.
Texas. And I saw some pictures. Our buddy Jeff Howe just texted us that from 24/7 Sports. He showed up to the high school in a TCU jacket.
Like, how about that?
And then committed to Texas. I'm sure Sonny Dykes is like, oh, cool.
He got some gear, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's cold out, so he started up in his TCU jacket. I guess he took it off and had a burnt orange shirt. I don't know. But four-star safety Warren Roberson has flipped his commitment from TCU to Texas. He'll become the final member, at least at this point, the final member of this recruiting class. For the Longhorns, which is ranked in the top three in the country.
Very nice.
Last time we talked to Jerry Hamilton, and he said he's a hard-hitting safety but has wide receiver ball skills.
That sounded great.
Yeah, man. So aggressive safety, Longhorns were looking for another DB in this class, and there you go. Commitment flip. TCU? No. Texas. Texas. This says, are you talking about the pickle salsa? No? Mm-mm. It says, red grapes, white cheese, Dijon, mustard on a cracker. Everybody keeps saying, don't knock it until you tried it. Get the patty melt at Hooters.
Me and my dad used to go every Sunday for lunch.
Oh, man. To Hooters?
All growing up, yep. And what would the whole family.
What would you get?
Fried pickles, either Daytona-style wings.
What was your Hooters of choice?
Oh, the Hooters of choice? It was the one that...
Barton Springs.
That's now a giant high-rise.
Yeah, Barton Springs.
Oh, Barton Springs,
Freaks me out every time I pass by it now. Yeah. I always wondered how Hooters maintained that property. It had to be worth so much money.
Well,
that big parking lot down there.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, guess what? My good buddy, Danny Brinson, he owns Aussies, which is still there.
Aussies still have volleyball down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked to Danny this weekend. We watched the first half of the Texas game there. He's actually looking to do some QC kinetics. He's got a knee. He wants to get back on the volleyball court, but he's got a knee problem.
Oh,
got
to get out there.
So, he was asking us about that, and we watched the Texas game. And, yeah, Aussies is still cranking right there. Gosh, we used to take our son is 24 years old. He'll be 25 this summer. When he was an infant or toddler, we used to take him to Aussies because way back in the day they had like dollar beers and dollar margaritas and watch sports, and it wasn't far from the house. And Griffin would eat French fries with his no teeth. But yeah, they've been there all that time, still cranking at Aussies with Danny and the crew there. Hey, so can we get a so Ty? By the way, are you nervous? Eager?
Yes,
what are we? You're going under the knife here. You're going to go.
That's a day surgery, right?
Yeah, I'm going in at like 7, and I won't be out till the middle of the day, I think.
Mm.
I don't even know how they do it though. I'm a little worried.
They haven't.
Well, they
got to
break your nose first. So that little rubber mallet that you see.
Is that actually what they do?
Oh, they're going to break your nose with a mallet?
I hope not. You're scaring me now.
Well, you won't feel it. You're going to be out.
I'll feel it when I wake up.
Oh, you're going to feel a lot of things when you wake up. Their nose won't be the same. You're going to be sore, right? You know that, right? You don't think they're going to be digging up in there? They're not doing the normal dig that you do on a daily basis. They're going up in there. I mean, up in there.
Deviated septum.
Collapsed cartilage.
Oh, telling me that's going to be sore. There's going to be some soreness in there.
I kind of imagine when it's not going to feel very good.
When that guy gets that boot up in there and, they're going to use gloves, though, okay? They will have gloves on. The surgeons will use gloves.
You think they'll shave my face?
No.
Like my mustache?
They may. That's interesting. They may ask you to do that. Oh, they haven't asked you.
I don't think y'all have seen me without a beard yet. So.
Have you got the details on what you can do and you can't do?
Well, this guy on the text line, we always do people on text line that let us know things. He says, I had that procedure. Takes 20 minutes. You'll be fine.
All that done?
That's what he said.
Okay.
Well, this guy's trying to stay in a hospital for a week, though. Come on now.
It just says, Ty, I had a friend 2 years ago who went through the same surgery. First thing they do before they start the surgery is break your nose.
I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah, they got to break it first to rebuild it.
Yeah.
And you got to break the beak.
You're not going to. Yeah, it's going to be sore when you come out. Everything is.
I haven't had a real surgery.
That's what she
since
said.
I was like 10
years old. Hey, now. My older brother, who might be listening right now, he sent me a text earlier about Jalen Hurts because he lives up there outside Philadelphia. When he was a kid, before he was 6 years old, he had broken his nose like 3 times. Like,
oh.
He rode his little baby cruiser right off the porch. And
right down the steps,
oh,
huh?
Yeah. So we have a picture of him when he's a kid. He's in the Akron Children's Hospital, and he's got a beak on his nose because they built his nose. And they put, like, wings on him, so they put these splints on his arm so he wouldn't touch it to prevent it from it looked like a bird. But
you got to be careful of your dogs jumping on your face.
Says, Ty, that first sneeze is going to suck.
Oh.
Oh, man.
These texts aren't making me feel any better.
There will be blood.
This says, Ty, they don't do that anymore. Use Dr. Slaughter. They won't break your nose. Yeah, I think they just go up there. What does it call that? Balloon sinuplasty? Go up there and stick balloons
like that,
in your nose.
You know that balloon they just shot down over South Carolina?
The Chinese spy balloon?
Yeah, about that. That thing goes up in there and they
boom.
Ba-boom.
I love this. Hey, real quick, let's get a flex update. Remember, bottom of the hour, it'll be Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. He's the man in the know on these negotiations between Fox TV, the Big 12, Texas, and Oklahoma, trying to get to the SEC. What are the odds it happens in time to be in the SEC by 2024 for the Longhorns and Sooners? We'll let Ross explain that to you, walk you through the process. Right now, though, let's hit the flex.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Sounds like a lot of people have had this procedure time.
Yeah, and you'll be after the black eyes, you'll be fine. If you can get past that part, because you have...
Come on, Ike Turner. They're going to be black eyes.
You're going to get a black eye from
that. Not going to be any black eyes.
Really?
You're going to be fine. Don't scare the young man. Now, it will be pretty funny if he comes out with like a shaved beard, and he's got a clear... I've never seen you without a beard tie.
It's not a pretty sight. There's a reason why I keep the beard.
All right, quick Flex update. FLXATX.com is where you find all of your Flex info. The high school basketball season continues to crank. We told you about Stony Point, number one in our power poll again this year. And listen, go over there today. We told you about, and we talked last week to Anthony Williams, Coach Anthony Williams. He had his Texas football showcase. There's a full video up there, pretty cool, of the recap of the unsigned seniors and some underclassmen. Ton of them out there at Del Valle this past weekend. So go watch that video. Pretty cool stuff at FLXATX.com. And as we've talked about this morning, Buck, as we talk about Flex, pretty cool that two Texas high school quarterbacks will play for a Super Bowl championship.
That's cool.
It was really cool a few years ago when you had Nick Foles and Drew Brees was in the Super Bowl from Westlake. We've seen that. But, man, two head-to-head, one from Channel View High School and Jalen Hurts and one from White House High School outside of Tyler with Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, when we talked, we started doing the Flex thing real heavy, Buck, back in the spring and had our Flex watch list. That's what we said. Look, I mean, this is just the natural evolution. We're following these kids now in high school because they're going to be the college stars and the pro players
the future,
beyond.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're seeing this. We'll see the NFL draft coming up. And guys like, you know, who was it? One of our producers got run over by Roshan Johnson in high school back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, Roshan Johnson. Who's our producer? Oh, it's Corey Guidry. I heard Corey Guidry on with Craig last week during the ice storm, or with Jeff, and he's down from the Golden Triangle area. Went to Nederland High School.
And he took a hit, did he?
Oh, yeah. He said Roshan Johnson, like, ran all over him. Ran all over him. So, yeah, we love following these guys and these young players, these young student-athletes, and they're on their way to big things. Excuse me. Four-star safety Warren Roberson, as we just told you, has flipped his commitment from TCU to Texas. That is also...
That's a good get for Texas.
And what a recruiting class that this is, man. Thank you there, Mr. Jack, for the Flex segment. And, man, the recruiting class, Buck, is really strong. I mean, you used to say about Mac Brown when he was building this thing that eventually the talent will outweigh the coaching.
Yes.
What if the talent can match the coaching? What if Sark can figure out these late-game struggles that he's got, you know, and this
I mean,
team,
what if the coaching can match the talent, as you say?
Yes.
Is that it? Yes.
Because that's what Nick Saban has done, right,
yes,
for the most part. And now we're seeing Georgia do it with Kirby Smart. You know, when you recruit these five stars and these great recruiting classes and your talent acquisition is to that level, and then it matches the development and the coaching, that's when you get a powerhouse. And that's when, you know, you become, you know, one of these with these power programs. Is Texas getting to there? And, you know, Sark still has to prove the coaching side of things because we know overall his record is – a little above 500 as a head coach. And even at Texas, he's had a 5-7 season, an 8-5 season, hasn't won
so
a bowl game
winning
yet.
Winning those games.
And this begins the no-excuse season for the Longhorns. There's really, I mean, there's always going to be potholes and issues and situations you have to deal with. But, you know, this with 25 total commitments now, because Warren Roberson makes the 25th for this high school recruiting class, which is ranked third in the country. On top of the transfer portal, folks, Buck. I mean,
and then after spring, some other moves.
Yeah, I mean, think about the transfer portal guys they brought in. Starters, starting punter, Jalen Catalan, very likely if he can stay healthy, will be the starting safety, and pushing for that spot. Also, the kid from Wake Forest comes in, already getting rave reviews in winter workouts, is one of their most athletic and fastest players. He can start at corner, very deep secondary right now, and. You know, they're bringing in quality players, and obviously to get the commitment from A.D. Mitchell from Georgia, you know, this was a pretty good offense last year. A.D. Mitchell might walk in here and be the best receiver.
Well, the good thing is they're bringing in players. It's not for depth purposes. It's for starting purposes now.
Yeah.
They believe these guys are not just, you know, position players that become number threes and twos and whatever. These are guys that can start for you.
And be impact players.
That's right.
I mean, A.D. Mitchell, I mean, that's a big-time player. And he was playing in an offense that was really tight end-based and run-based in Georgia. You know, here it's going to be more of a throwing, you know, Sark's still going to run the ball. But, you know, it's fair to say last year the best two players were your running backs. This year, your best weapons are probably going to be at receiver and at tight end. And that's you have to utilize those guys. But, man, that's 25 new high school players plus the portal. You know, since Sark has gotten here, they flipped this roster over with 85 scholarships. I would say what now? 70 players?
I was going to say, his own? About 70% of this team is
70, there. 80% is now his. I mean, that's – and this coaching staff has stayed relatively intact. Hasn't been a lot of change there. There have been some minor changes after year one and then additions. Gary Patterson still doing his thing. Now that we know the schedule, Buck, and we know who they play and when they play, this season is
The addition of a new wide receiver coach is big, I believe.
Yeah. I was out that week when they hired Chris Jackson officially, and we talked about he was going to be the leading candidate. What were your thoughts on getting the guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I just thought it was fantastic. I mean, here's a guy that's helped a couple guys who are, you know, they did pretty well. I mean, he helped Zay Jones out an awful lot, I believe he. So I think this is what you need. You need a no-nonsense guy to really come in here. And if you're not performing, somebody else will. Because I think now you're, like you said, now you got the talent now. Now it's not. Well, this is all we have. I think you have the talent enough players that will put pressure on guys that if you're not performing, they won't be there.
Yeah, it's just the competition level,
right?
But the workouts and the practices, and as we said, you bring your entire offensive line back, but there's no guarantee any of those guys are going to start except for the left tackle.
That's right.
Kelvin Banks will be your left tackle. Everything else, you know, those guys could get beat out by a better player who's had a great offseason. I think that's I mentioned Jalen Catalon comes in, maybe starts at safety, but you know what? He's got to earn that spot.
That's true.
You got guys back there that have played some football. I mean, that's the exciting part of this team. And I'll say this, for the defensive side, Buck, if two guys of this recruiting class can really stand out, if you're picking these two and saying, well, in year one it was Xavier Worthy as a freshman who just blew up.
Yep.
Last year was Kelvin Banks. If there's one guy, maybe two, that could really separate this defense from good to the next level, would be Anthony Hill, the 5-star kid out of Denton, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a 6-1 rating on Rivals. I mean, he's a 5-star player. Can he walk in and play next to Jalen Ford and bring another impact player at that position? And then from right here in Austin, but Colton Vosick. Colton Vosick
If you can get Alfred Collins and Colton Vosick together,
well, you just
to really get going.
I mean, they led the nation in pressure rate last year. I mean, they put pressure on quarterbacks, but they didn't have a finisher. They didn't have anybody that could get to the quarterback to the ground on a consistent basis. Who becomes that guy? Is it one of the guys that we've already seen that's coming, Jamon Tapp or Justice Finkley or one of these kind of guys? Or does a guy like Colton Vosick walk in here and on a situational basis, on obvious passing situations, can he become that guy that comes off the edge? And you also could add his teammate at Westlake, who played last year here. What was his name, for crying out loud? He got some playing time. He also could be that kind of quick twitch guy. Because I feel like with Bo Davis up front, Buck, they're still going to get that push. Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy and those kind of guys getting the push. Can they get someone off the edge that can become that game wrecker? That's the next step for this defense. Heck, and maybe it's one of these. Maybe it's Anthony Hill who becomes a tremendous attack player that can become part of that. And excited for what that defense.
Yeah, he
can
seeks
be.
Out the ball pretty well.
He does. He's a downhill linebacker.
Yeah.
Downhill linebacker who's already got the size. I mean, he's 6'2" and 230. I mean, he's going to walk in here. He'll get in the weight room, obviously, and add some muscle to him. But he's got those great instincts on top of just those really, really rare physical gifts. That he comes in with. So,
and does Alfred Collins now going into his senior year? Does
man.
He wake? Is it? Does the light really go on for him?
Yeah. I know there's
about
lot of,
your money now.
I know Texas fans hope so, and the Texas coaches, and I think there's a lot of NFL scouts who would like to see
absolutely.
That. And that's there is evidence of that. I mean, I felt like Keandre Coburn took his game to a whole different level last year. I mean, there were guys that were. They just showed
Ethan
some,
Burke is the kid you were thinking
Ethan
of. Yeah,
Burke from Westlake, the former lacrosse player. Big tall kid. They just need an X-factor player on that defense, and maybe it's Anthony Hill, maybe it's Vosick. Having seen Vosick in person, and he's got that kind of bend, that kind of explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. Now, these are against high school players. You got to be able to do it against college, high-end college players, but he seems to have that, and the long arms, the ability to get the corner and get the edge and get quarterbacks to the ground and be an impact player. We will follow that. Obviously, exciting offseason for the Longhorns. The final piece is in. If you're just tuning in, that's Warren Roberson, the Red Oak safety, flipped from TCU to Texas this morning at his official signing ceremony up there at Red Oak High School in the Metroplex. We come back, Buck. It's Ross Dellinger. Get your questions ready. We're going to be asking him about his in-depth piece that he wrote behind the scenes with Texas and Oklahoma's potential move to the SEC. When will it happen? When will Fox allow it to happen? What will it take for Fox to let Texas and Oklahoma go by 2024? We'll ask him all those questions next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
B&E.
B&E on this Tuesday morning. Rainy Tuesday. Going to rain through the lunch hour and then looks like all evening and all night. Good chance for rain in the ATX. Somebody asked us on the text line, how did UT miss out on Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, especially considering our history with mobile quarterbacks? Mahomes was a Tech kid and, of course, played baseball. The Hurts story is a little more intriguing in that he camped at Texas with Charlie Strong and wanted to come to Texas. He no denial there. He wanted to play at Texas. But you know who Texas offered their scholarship to was Shane Bouchel, who was more of a throwing quarterback at the time, obviously, and came in and started at Texas for a couple years. And ironically, they're both in the Super Bowl because Shane Bouchel is listed as the third-string quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So both will be there. Pretty cool. But yeah, what could have been? We got a lot of those here at Texas with the quarterbacks over the past, and both Texas high school quarterbacks playing in this game on Sunday. Eager to talk to our next guest, and very excited to bring him to the airwaves. I tweeted this story out, read it last week when it dropped. It is all about the Longhorns and the Sooners' pursuit to get out of the Big 12 in time for 2024. It's written by Ross Dellinger. The headline of the story is the Big 12 is ready for Texas and Oklahoma to leave, so why is it taking so long? You can read it at sportsillustrated.com, SI.com. He is Ross Dellinger on the Vaqueros Hotline. Ross, good morning.
Morning. How are y'all?
Doing fantastic. Ross, and yourself?
Doing good.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you doing this, too. And, man, it's a long article. It's in-depth, to say the least, and folks should read it, as I've said. But do you have, when you read that headline, why is it taking so long? Is there a short answer to that?
Well, it's fairly complicated of a situation. But I think I could, boil it down. And I think it boils down to the TV networks. Part of any exit agreement for Texas and Oklahoma to leave a year early in 2024 instead of 2025, there are a lot of parties involved. There's the Big 12 legacy schools. There's the Big 12 office. There's the SEC office. There's obviously Texas and Oklahoma. And there are the TV partners, Fox and ESPN. And I think you can boil it down to an issue with Fox and ESPN. I think all other parties are pretty much in agreement of an early divorce, and Fox and ESPN just need to find a way to come to some kind of compromise. Basically, what's happening is if Texas and Oklahoma leave a year early, that means Fox will be missing out on the Longhorns and the Sooners during the 2024 season. They will not have rights to any of their games, and ESPN, which has exclusive rights to the SEC, will have all the broadcasting rights to Texas and Oklahoma. So Fox wants something in exchange, obviously. And whether that's inventory or a big old check, they want something from ESPN or from Texas and Oklahoma to make that happen, and that seems to be the sticking point.
Boy, that sounds like a big old check, the way you say that. Big old check, huh?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you got to think, you know, I and these are just estimates, but Fox, Fox obviously and ESPN both have co-rights to the Big 12 deal in 2024. And so they would pick Texas and Oklahoma maybe three or four times each.
Right.
So if you split the difference and say that they get seven to eight games or so a year, well, you got to put a price tag on those games. It's kind of hard to do that, but it's multiple millions of dollars. You know, the Big 12's TV deal in 2024 is valued at around $220 million. You would take that and you divide by what? How many conference games is it? 90 or somewhere around there? You would divide to see if you could come up with some kind of figure per game, but that figure is going to be inflated because you're talking about two big brands in Texas and Oklahoma, but it's several million dollars. And that's why I think that one of the compromises was going to be inventory, where Texas and Oklahoma or ESPN would give Fox more inventory in the way of maybe, say, for instance, Texas's game against Michigan in 2024 that's in Austin. Maybe Fox gets that game instead of ESPN, who has the first pick and would probably, or who has exclusive rights if they move early. So it's things like that. You would trade. You guys remember the Joe Buck game trade?
Yes.
Last year. I think it was last year when Joe Buck went from Fox
to ESPN. To
ESPN,
yep.
Right? Yeah, and then ESPN had to trade a game and gave Fox the Penn State Purdue game, or it was some Big Ten game, basically Fox got in exchange for Joe Buck. So it's some kind of similar to that. There needs to be an exchange or a trade of some sort. Fox needs inventory, or it needs a lot of money.
Yeah, to be made whole, because as we talked about, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are consistently the only schools, whether it's they're playing each other or anyone else in the conference, that brings those TV eyeballs, you know, over a million people typically, which obviously then they sell to advertisers, and that's how they make their money and pay for these big contracts. You have to make them whole on that. I think that's an interesting one. It was deep in your article about that Michigan game, because Michigan does have a home and home with Texas starting in 2024. Of course, the Big Ten is going to be all Fox starting in 2024 as well, which would be an interesting compromise for sure, and we're looking forward to that game. Ross Dellinger is with us, Sports Illustrated, must-read article for all Longhorn fans and Big 12 fans to understand the inner workings of this. I was intrigued that really, as you said, all other parties are pretty much on board with this. Is it fair to say that, you know, the Big 12, the college football landscape, is ready for 2024 to, you know, really start the new Big 12 with 12 teams, the new 12-team playoff? You know, SEC is all on ESPN, Fox is all Big Ten, USC and UCLA are moving into the Big Ten. That all aligns with 2024, which is why it feels like that something can be worked out to make this happen.
Yeah, and that's part of this, too. I don't think I wrote in that story, but it's been written about before, where everything kind of aligns that year, and you just went through it all, where there's the conference realignment is all settled that year and stabilized, and we'll have the new college football 12-team playoff. In another part of that, you know, ESPN's exclusive TV deal with SEC starts that year. You've got some new other TV deals in the Big Ten, as you mentioned, that starts that year. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that align with that year. And I think that there's a thought that let's just make this happen. And I think Big 12 schools want Texas and Oklahoma out. I think the Big 12 conference office wants Texas and Oklahoma out. And I know for sure Texas and Oklahoma won out early. And I think the SEC would like them to join early. I think ESPN, seeing as they hold exclusive rights to the SEC starting that year, broadcasting rights, that they would want them to start that year. The one whole hang up kind of is does Fox really want that? Because again, they lose the inventory. I think they'd be okay with wanting that if they get a whopper of a check or some big time matchup games, like you mentioned. You know, maybe there's that Michigan Ohio State series that Texas has, future non conference series that is involved in this. There was certainly trade talks about that. And then on Oklahoma side, I think there's been discussions of playing Big 12 legacy schools at their place over the next few years, scheduling some future matchups that Fox could get.
Yeah, we want this divorce. We got to have this divorce. But as long as the longer you stay in this divorce, we still make money. So I know you want out. I know the Big 12 wants you out. I know the SEC wants you in. But as long as you're still playing football games in the Big 12, even with the new teams that arrive, you're still our money makers. So we can't. If you don't pay us a check, this divorce, it'll just be this relationship will be bad, but we still will make cash.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's making money, right? I mean, you know, and I think folks don't understand. I tried to explain in that story what the grant of rights is and why Texas and Oklahoma are bound to this grant of rights. So they signed this grant of rights, 10, 12 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And it is a binding contract to stay in the Big 12 and is connected to the Big 12 TV deal. And, you know, to get out is going to be a costly penalty because you're not only do ESPN and Fox have to come to some kind of terms on inventory or money or a trade of some sort, but you know, the Big 12 in Texas and Oklahoma have to come to some kind of financial exit fee, and there will be an exit fee, and it'll be multiple million dollars. Depends on who you talk to. It depends on what kind of number you get. Some might say 30 or 40 million. Some will say 60 to 70 million maybe each. When you do the math, you know, you come up with a number that's probably over 100 million, but I think that is a number that, because all parties have agreed and want to split early, that they've negotiated down or they will negotiate right down. So there'll be two things going on here. There's going to be a check written from each Texas and Oklahoma to the Big 12 to make the Big 12 schools whole themselves, and there's going to be some kind of trade or exchange between ESPN and Fox to make Fox whole.
Exactly right. They're the parties. And as you wrote, the final line of your story says, one athletic director quoted, "We sold our souls to the devil, but we love our paycheck." Of course, TV rules, and the granting of rights is for 99 years, so it's going to have to be paid. Ross Dellinger is with us. Is there any way to put a percentage in your mind of how likely this gets done? I know there's been some reporting, it was late last week, that it's dead in the water, it's not going to happen. And I think there's some posturing and negotiating going on there. But what's your gut tell you on the percentage that this thing gets done by 2024 or at some point here in the near future?
Yeah, I think the reports last week were all part of this process. And you mentioned it there. There's a little posturing there probably going on. I was a little surprised at how strongly angled those reports were, because I do believe, from everybody I've talked to, that this is, this is on the way to happening. It has been on the way to happening. Now, you have snags, you know, right? I mean, every negotiation has snags where everybody picks up, walks out of the room, you take a breather for a couple of days, and you come back. And I think that's what's kind of unfolded here. Percentage-wise, I think it's relatively high. I mean, I was on a podcast yesterday asking the same question. I said, 75 to 80% of the time, in my mind, it's 75 to 80% chance that they leave early and start in 2024. I think that in any negotiations, you have hitches and snags, and I think that did happen. It has happened over the course of the last week or two. But I think everybody, there's so much pressure to get this done from the leagues and the schools and even the national landscape, I think it does get done.
Something that needs to get done. Hey, Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter and all of his work at Sports Illustrated. He's a senior writer there, does an incredible job in keeping folks in the loop. Let me ask you this while we got you. Let's say it is, as you said, 80%, and it's going to get done, and then 2024 it all lines up, and Texas is in the SEC, Oklahoma's in the SEC, and the Big 12 moves forward. Do you still feel like there's a chance the Big 12 could then add from there with whatever's left of the Pac-12? Do you think that's in the future, Big 10 and Big 12 kind of poaching the remainder of the Pac-10, or what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I know that was we saw a lot of reports about that in July and August and September. I think that they were a little premature. We now sit here 5 months later, and it doesn't seem like that's as much of a possibility. And honestly, I think Kevin Warren leaving the Big Ten is actually going to stabilize things a little bit conference-wise as far as conference realignment. He was one of the ones pushing so hard to continue to expand. And you kind of thought that maybe if he took some Pac-12 North schools, then, that would kind of crater the Pac-12, and the Pac-12 South would go and need a home in, say, the Big 12. So that I don't – with him leaving, a lot of people believe it's going to be more stability. Now, that said, the Pac-12 is in the middle of a media rights negotiation. And if that deal isn't ideal, or isn't close to the deal that Brett Yormark and the Big 12 agreed to with ESPN and Fox starting in, I think – 2025, that new TV deal, if it's not close, if the Pac-12's numbers aren't close, maybe you do see some schools think seriously about jumping. But I think the deals are going to be close enough, but you never know. Certainly, whatever the Pac-12 schools sign on is not going to be long-term. Like, it's not going to be some 10-year deal like, for instance, this Big 12 grant of rights and all that. Like, it's not going to be that. And so I think what you're going to have is a short-term deal, which brings stability for maybe 3 or 4 years to the Pac-12, but not long-term.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, Ross, that the Pac-12 will be able to survive not going somewhere else, whether it's the Big Ten, or if the Big Ten wants them to join, or the Big 12. I mean, you got those Arizona schools ought to be jumping to run to the Big 12 as soon as possible. But as soon as possible is pretty doggone soon in your mind. Like you said, 3 or 4 years. You don't see these 12-year deals coming out of the Pac-12 and what they're going to get.
No way. The conference is in a situation where, I don't think teams – I don't think many programs in that league,
right,
aside from Oregon State, maybe in Washington State, will sign anything long-term.
That would be the read because, of course, USC and UCLA are jumping, and could there be more with the Big 12 relooked and remade? Ross, thanks so much. Appreciate the work, and we'll keep tabs and let us know, and we'll be following and have you back when something does develop.
Ross, thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. It is interesting as of yesterday afternoon, this was weird, that both Texas and Oklahoma, neither of them had the 2023 schedule on their website. Neither. Which led a lot of people like, what? Why? Every other school in the Big 12
sure.
has posted the website on their, posted the schedule. Texas and Oklahoma had not. And as of this morning, Oklahoma has finally posted the schedule for 2023. Texas still has not. Is that just them being lazy down there at the 40 acres? I don't know. But Texas, if you go to texassports.com and click
just
on football schedule,
guessing.
It still shows the 2022 football schedule, not the 2023 schedule, which has been released by the conference. So, we report, you decide. We'll let you know when it gets there. But Oklahoma's is now up. We appreciate Ross Dellinger. There's the lay of the land. Fox is the reason. And how about that? Would you be okay if that may happen? ESPN may say, okay, look, we want Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC quickly and badly because that's when our rights take over. We'll give you the Texas-Michigan 2024
sure.
game, and we'll give you the Texas-Ohio State game on 2025.
Sure.
And you can go sell that and make a bazillion dollars, and we'll get – because the SEC at that point would get Texas and Oklahoma for every other game. They would just sell that one to them or give that to them as purchase, and those are going to be – the TV ratings on Texas-Oklahoma – or Texas-Ohio State, Texas-Michigan will be whoppers. So that may be enough for Fox. But then, as he said, Texas and Oklahoma still have to buy their way out of the Big 12.
They still owe them money.
Yeah, they own the schools.
And they're not getting out of that.
But the fact that all parties are saying we're ready to go tells me that they've kind of come to a number. I think everyone is on the same page of what that is. So no one's balking at that. It's really about Fox And I do think every time they get close, Fox kind of ups the ante a little bit. Oh, okay. Oh, we got that? All right. Well, let's go up a little higher.
Just a little bit more. You can do it. You guys can pay that. Come on.
Because you're the final straw now. So Fox is kind of like, oh, okay, we can stir this drink for a little bit. All right, we'll be back. We'll reset the top stories, get you set up for Light the Tower. Appreciate Ross Dellinger. We're coming right back.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Wrapping it up on a Tuesday. Appreciate Ross Dellinger. Appreciate everybody today.
It looks like Oklahoma and Texas, you can leave, but you're going to have to pay that child support. That child support is still going to be hanging back there.
Yeah, there was always going to need to be a fix for Fox.
Yes.
And they'll figure it out, I think. I'm with Ross. I think he says 80% that it still gets done.
Yeah, that 80 million that we heard about earlier, that thing is down. We've got to be down now.
Well, we know ESPN wants it to happen. And so does Texas and Oklahoma. So do the rest of the Big 12. There'll be a number. And remember, for the Longhorn Network, ESPN still owes Texas through 2031.
Right.
So there is money there that ESPN can kick in for the buyout. Oklahoma's always been the factor of, do they have the money to do it? If all parties want it to happen, I think it will happen, I think is the fair point. Obviously, Fox could be the stick in the mud and stick by the contract, which they have every right to do. But at the same time, I think they want it to happen too, because that's the year that they begin with USC and UCLA, 12-team playoff. Because, by the way, the bidding for that is going to begin, right? They're going to the bidding rights are going to be out there for that when they expand to Big 12 or 12-team playoff when it comes on in 2024. So who's going to televise those games will become a big factor. Speaking of televised, how about this, Buck? We came in here on Monday and said nobody watched the Pro Bowl. 6.2 million viewers.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
Last year was 6.7. The flag football game, 6.2. You know who's really struggling right now? The NBA. NBA had a primetime game Saturday night that didn't even get a sixth of what the Pro Bowl flag football game got. Seriously.
Playoffs.
Yeah, I read a story yesterday about the NBA's, a lot of their advertisers are really frustrated because they're not drawing the numbers. No one's tuning into these games. And they're paying for advertising.
And it's after Christmas,
yeah,
all those games,
oh no.
And they're still not watching.
People aren't paying attention. They're watching flag football games.
Good Lord.
You people love your football.
Don't we have a new league coming in here? Is USFL starting here in the spring?
Yeah, it is. XFL, USFL, I don't know what the
dates on. Is it
that.
XFL? What is it? Is it USFL? No, it's XFL.
You'll tell me tomorrow, I guess.
No, and I will not be watching.
I will be. We'll be back. I'm gambling on it.
No.
Coming up, Craig Way is back from his meandering trip through West Virginia and Texas and Kansas. He'll have Light the Tower with Jeff Howe and Colonel Cam Parker. That's coming your way. Then it's Chad and Zay through the midday. Harge and Rob with Ball Don't Lie this afternoon. Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll hear you bright and early, or zero dark early at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.